Hi, this is Brad Glover of Swilled Dog Hard Cider in Franklin, West Virginia, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 92. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the producer and a cider MC of this weekly podcast where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within cider trade from around the world. This week, we're in West Virginia with Brad Glover of Swilled Dog Hard Cider. There'll be more on that chat in just a moment. Oh, yes, we are getting towards the tail end of August. And, you know, there's this like buzz in the air. One, because today there was a solar eclipse, so that's a big buzz in the air. But more importantly about this time of season, in my spot in Ciderville, you see the apples and the pears everywhere just making their presence known as they slowly ripen. And folks are, you know, all in a buzz about getting the early apples in and getting their press set up and storage ready and thinking about what they're going to do with the yeast profile and cleaning equipment. It's a really exciting time. Of course, folks in like Australia and New Zealand and Chile and the southern part of the hemisphere, you're on that other side of cider making where you're now just watching your product, monitoring it. Probably a lot of your primary fermentations have long passed, and you are at that other critical stage of making sure that what you started with and worked so hard early on in your season is moving forward at a perfect pace, which without a doubt goes to show you that there is never a dull time in Ciderville. Certainly not in my backyard, and imagine for you too. Actually, I wanted to share with you, I was out at one of my favorite little orchards, New Salem Preserves, visiting with Carol B. Hillman, who I've mentioned many times on this podcast. If you want to know a little bit more about New Salem Preserves, well, go to episode number 2 with Bob Coles on building a cider house. He's not with us any longer, but that's a wonderful story about that piece of property. Anyways, I was out there checking out the scene, wanting to know how the lady apple tree was doing, because last year I did make a single variety cider out of the lady. And don't you know, well, it's kind of like a biannual tree, and there's no apples on the lady. The other trees and are just laden with fruit. I mean, absolutely laden. There's one pear tree that is not a peri-pear tree, but it's an old, beautiful tree. And Carol's so scared that it's going to like almost break off some limbs. So I'm going to be out there picking some of those, I think it's a Bartlett pear this week. And I'd probably be crushing some of those up, I suspect, if all goes well, and then trying my hand at it. Well, the other piece of being out there was to also go and look at these mighty pear trees that were out there in the orchard. And just last year, I had one of the first conversations. I'm kind of scratching my head. I don't know why I didn't do this sooner, but I asked about those pear trees. And Carol was thinking about cutting them down, saying they never produced. And I was like, whoa, don't do that. So she's not doing that. And the orchard folk there are always saying, every time I go by that pear tree, I think about urea, which makes me very happy because I want them to have that focus in mind. And when I went out there walking through the field last week, I walked up to this big old mighty pear tree, and there were pears. That just gives me goosebumps, you know, throughout. It's like, there's pears. Tiny little buggers, and I was able to reach up and grab one. This tree hasn't really been kept, and it's really overgrowing with a lot of different things on top of it. But I was able to get off a pear and bite into it. I didn't know what it was, and it turned out it is a peri-pear. So that's excellent news for everyone, and I'm going to be harvesting some of those. It won't probably amount to much, but it's a beginning, and now the folks are kind of ramped up to maybe start doing a little bit of tending around it. So that pear tree and the other one, couple pears, and it's moving forward. So that's my little piece on what I did over the weekend, and when I return next, I have something really exciting to share with you. I'm so excited about this new sidebar that's going to be part of Cider Chat that I'm almost wishing the summer away. And I'm not one to do that, so I'm going to kind of restrain myself for now. Because starting on the first episode in September, which will be number 94, we will be having an edition called Palms in Art. And Palms in Art is this venture into the world of art. Of course, I do see cider making as a liquid form of art. It's a craft, and it takes a certain artistic approach to making that perfect libation of cider or perry. But I do feel that if we just look at cider purely in the liquid form and we just geek out on the science of it, we're missing this whole other reality, essentially, that is excluding many people who would probably really want to approach cider if they, well, had it a little bit more relatable. Now, art is many, many different things. There's many different forms of art, right? There's drawing, painting, ceramics, photography, sculpture, conceptual art, music. We've been doing a little bit of all of that, for the most part, on Cider Chat. So I thought, why not really highlight it? What will happen is I'll be discussing a particular artist, and we're going to begin with Paul Cézanne, who is a French artist, and talking about still life with apples and pears. Just a beautiful, beautiful painting. And he actually did quite a bit with apples and pears. And, well, doesn't it go to figure? I mean, think about any beginner art class, and that is typically a still life with fruit. And those fruits are more often than not an apple or a pear. Why is that? Well, partly because the apple really can stand up to being in the basket or in the bowl for quite a while. It wouldn't work so well perhaps with a peach or a much more delicate fruit. So it's a very exciting time. I think we're going to have an immense amount of information that we never really thought about. And my hope is that not only for those of us who are the geeks in Ciderville, but for maybe our spouses, our friends, our family, don't realize, and even myself, I didn't realize until I started this project, that palms are absolutely everywhere. I mean, what do we learn when we're in elementary school? We learn A is for apple. So the more that we bring this up into the forefront, I think it's going to be inclusive for a whole range of people who never really thought about cider in this context and get a little bit more buzz going. You know, we talk about cider in barrels. We talk about cider with food. But what's really in everyday life is the artwork that is just everywhere. It will be posted on the show notes for each episode. And now there is a new Twitter feed called Palms in Art and an Instagram account called Palms in Art. And those will just be specific to that week's artwork. So I won't overwhelm you with too much image and social media channels. And you can link all that via thecidercat.com. I want to say that I am looking for sponsors for this sidebar. So if you are in the art world, if you're a cidery, if you are an art aficionado, if you know a museum, I really think that this is a great avenue to help promote palms that really goes across all boundaries and borders, because art is universal and cider making is art. If you want to find out more about this, you could go to ciderchat.com/palmart. We'll be coming back with Brad Glover of Swilled Dog Hard Cider in West Virginia. Okay, well, it is time to grab a glass and join this chat with Brad Glover of Swill Dog Hard Cider in West Virginia. I begin by asking Brad to give us a little bit of an idea of their location.
We're in, part of the Allegheny Mountains where, you know, it's a very mountainous region of West Virginia here in what we call the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. And Franklin is located in somewhat of a valley here between a few mountains. And but it's mountains a little everywhere here in West Virginia. And that's the beauty of the place. You know, there's a lot of great things to do in the outdoors. And if you like to hike and bike and do all those great things, this is a great place for it. So it's a very mountainous region. I believe we're a little over 2,000 feet here in Franklin, and the highest point in our state is actually in our county here in Pendleton County called Spruce Knob. It's a pretty mountainous region.
And for listeners out there in Ciderville who aren't based in the U.S., West Virginia is on the east coast of the United States, and I'm looking on the map right now, and Franklin is about three hours or so from Baltimore, Maryland. Is that about right?
Yeah, about 3 hours from Baltimore, about 2 hours, maybe two and a half, depending upon traffic to D.C., we're kind of right in the Shenandoah Valley area there of West Virginia and Virginia.
Now, I am not detecting a what I would consider like a Southern accent. Is there an accent in West Virginia? Do you come originally from the state of West Virginia or somewhere else?
I actually come from West Virginia. I may have lost my accent a little bit, but I definitely am born and raised in West Virginia. And my Southern accent is not as strong as it used to be, but it's still there a little bit.
How can you lose a local accent? Were you out traveling about in the world, or what's up with that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really just being out and about and exploring I don't know. You know, I think it's whenever I was younger, I definitely had a lot stronger of an accent than I do today.
Okay. Well, I imagine that West Virginia, since you're like a local there, it probably has a really long heritage of making cider, you know, on the farms, and certainly probably, you know, a region that's well known for like moonshine, which is like a distillation of spirits. And yet I was looking at your website, the swilledog.com website, and I was seeing that you have a hard time getting cider varieties, cider apple varieties, which doesn't surprise me. But do you know anything about like the history of cider making in West Virginia that you might be able to share with us?
You know, I think it's an interesting history. You know, we're trying to do a lot more research on the hard cider making history in West Virginia, but it's been around for a long time. And, you know, a lot of the old cider variety apples were planted in West Virginia and still exist to this day, just not in large quantities. But that's the way I really got introduced to cider, was in Pendleton County here in West Virginia. A lot of, you know, the old timers used to make hard cider, and you used to be able to go in, and you still can today, to go into their cellars and, experience hard cider in a barrel and all used from local apples. And, you know, I really got introduced to hard cider, you know, from some friends that were doing that back when we were in college and kind of growing up. And it just so happens that, you know, I caught the bug to make hard cider, and that's really, you know, kind of where, you know, I got introduced to hard cider. But West Virginia in general has made some great hard cider for a long time. And I think that, you know, we are the second hard cider company to the state, and we really just want to showcase that because a lot of the apple growing region is in our area from, you know, Pendleton County, if you're not totally familiar, is again in that Shenandoah Valley area where, you know, there is some really great apple growing regions, but kind of up into what we call our Eastern Panhandle in the Romney, West Virginia area, there are some great apple orchards there. And so a lot of people kind of in this area make a lot of hard cider and have done have been making it for quite some time.
And would those folks typically be doing like a wild yeast cider, or would they be using a cultured yeast?
It The majority, I would say 95%, are using wild varieties of yeast. And I think that that's what makes it so unique and so interesting, that, you know, you kind of develop the flavors of the area. And that's really all I knew for quite a long time. And I think that it really helped me understand cider. And then whenever I started reading more about it and doing a lot more research, I started to experiment with other yeasts and started to talk to people about other yeasts. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, how I got into cider making. But yeah, the majority was wild yeast.
I want to really thank you for sending the cider up here in, Cider Chat Central. We received like 5 bottles yesterday of the Swilled Dog Cider, and we're going to go through each of these. I wanted to just mention, though, and just go right into the West Virginia Scrumpy cider that you have here. I don't see it on, and I want to say that your labels are absolutely beautiful. I'm going to just describe them to Ciderville. It's a photo of a dog, which I'm going to assume is like a border collie.
It is, yeah.
Well, it's actually not a photo, but this is all artwork. A photo of a border collie. So you got that black and white dog kind of leaning against a really abundant, very happy-looking apple tree. And the left of the tree, there's a nice-looking farmhouse. It's just a really happy-looking label, which really drew me in. All your writing on both your website and on your labels are really inviting. And what it says here on the West Virginia Scrumpy bottle is, our family-owned cidery is passionate about making an impact as we are about the quality of our cider. 1% of sales support local charities and communities. And you're helping create a sustainable happiness. I just love that. It's just a really positive energy coming out of the cider. And that, I think, always really shows in the taste and quality of the cider, the feeling behind it. This particular West Virginia Scrumpy is really exciting because you're using heritage apples that were picked and donated, and it's added with love, with the hope that it could one day fulfill its full potential to become part of a glorious cider. So are these cider apples heritage apples, or you're just getting apples that were kind of, I don't know, brought in from different local farms? How is this particular Scrumpy made?
This is a great cider that I believe kind of really exemplifies our brand and kind of what we're trying to do. You know, we're really passionate about the state of West Virginia, and we're really passionate to really showcase the hard cider that West Virginia can make. And honestly, you know, the statement kind of in our mission is, you know, we want to make great hard cider, but we also want to make an impact in our state and really try to make a difference. So this West Virginia Scrumpy was kind of born from just that. You know, there are a lot of very generous people in the state of West Virginia that, you know, may or may not know a lot about hard cider. And we went around and knocked on a ton of doors. We got some doors shut in our face, but that's okay. You know, they didn't exactly know what we were trying to do. We wanted to just pick their apples, and they didn't understand that, but that's okay. But you know, we went around and just talked to people about, you know, our company, our mission, telling them, you know, we wanted to create an authentic West Virginia cider just from any type of apple that we could find. And so a lot of these apples are not your, you know, dessert apples. They're not your heritage apples. A lot of them are just wild variety apples. And a lot of them are crab apples. So a lot of people didn't understand exactly, you know, they said, well, those apples are terrible. We've tried to make all kinds of different things from them. And it's just, they don't do well, but you can have as many as you want. So it was awesome to kind of get out and talk to people about hard cider and, you know, start, you know, developing the brand around this Scrumpy. So, you know, we did. We just knocked on doors. We picked apples, and we brought it all back to make, you know, a hodgepodge, what we like to call it, a hodgepodge of just random apples from all over the state. And it turned out to be an amazing cider. And, you know, 100% of the proceeds from this cider have gone to benefit local communities and charities kind of within our mission. And so every event that we go to, we typically bring our West Virginia Scrumpy, and all the sales proceeds go to benefit a certain cause that the event, you know, that we put together with the event. So it's really cool. We actually, at the Glint Cap Awards, so this is actually our first cider that we put in a bottle at Swilled Dog. And it's pretty cool that we actually won a silver medal at Glint Cap with this cider. We'll never be able to recreate it again. And every year will be different. We're planning on making a bigger batch each year. But, you know, 100% of the proceeds will continue to go to local communities and charities. And we hope we can continue to produce great ciders like this one, because this 2016 batch was awesome.
Yeah, I feel really privileged to have it here. It's a lovely light, like amber color to it. It's all your bottles are 750 mil clear bottles, so you can really see into the cider itself, which is so inviting. Just a beautiful presentation. On the bottom of the label, it says "Mission Accomplished, Mountaineers." So, can you tell us a little bit about that? What that meant?
Yeah, you know, our big state university is West Virginia University, and their mascot is the Mountaineers, and so Mountaineers are kind of synonymous with West Virginia. And so, you know, with our label here, you know, we're really proud to show off our heritage. Every apple was picked, you know, and donated with love, and really just from the generous people of West Virginia. So what we call it here, you know, Mission Accomplished Mountaineers. You know, we were able to pull all those apples together and make a great cider that I think not only exemplifies our brand, but also showcases the ability for West Virginia to make some great hard cider.
Nice. I love that. I think that's what cider really brings to the greater world. There's all these people like yourself who are really connected, not just to making a damn good cider, but also to really include the local economy. And the fact that you're going out and educating folks about the potential of cider in your region is really, you know, fantastic. So big tip of the glass to you down there. Hey, speaking of down there, and who exactly is involved in Swilled Dog? You are the main cider maker. Is that true?
Well, you know, we kind of it's a family owned business. So in our business, we have myself and my wife, Brooke. We also have my sister, Jill, and her husband, Mike. My sister Stacy and her husband Chris, and then my mom and dad Barry and Debbie, and honestly we all love making hard cider. We all love enjoying hard cider, and it's kind of a collaboration effort to make. You know, it's a lot of my sister and my brother-in-law Jill and Mike do a lot of the research on different varieties and different things that we need to be looking at for, you know, potential new ciders, but it's really a group effort when it comes to, you know, coming up with how we're going to make each batch of our cider. And that's, you know, that's one of the great things about our company is we are family owned, and we do want to make sure that we continue, you know, having that relationship with our family. And it's just, it's so important that we all get together, and this company helps us do that and continue to do that no matter where we're at. We always have Swilled Dog hard cider to come back to.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about your cider making technique. You know, these bottles have magnificent clarity. I have four other bottles in front of me. Again, they're all 750 milliliter bottles, all clear glass. They have that lovely logo I was describing, and then underneath it describes the actual name of the cider. On the Scrumpy, and we have the pineapple apple cider, which is the one I have open here. I'm going to be opening it again in a moment. I kind of learned while I was on doing these Skype calls that I really need to like make sure that the bottle is going to stay intact, I'm going to say, and not bubble over onto all my recording equipment. So I have this pre-opened, and we'll open it again. But what is your cider making techniques that you're using? Is there anything in particular that you're doing in terms of the yeast? You're definitely, what I noticed is you have the traditional Scrumpy. I'm going to call it traditional in terms of using, you know, foraged apples in that way. But you have these other, mm-hmm. like flavored ciders with the pineapple.
you have a hop cider called the Bunny Slope, which we'll talk about in a moment, and then the Caramel Apple, which is a semi-sweet cider, and the Walk the Dog, which is a semi-dry cider. What's up with your cider making? What can you share with us?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we really want to make cider that's approachable for everybody. We think that obviously hard cider is you know, growing around the country. And, you know, some people make sweet cider, some people make dry cider, some people make flavored ciders. And so we wanted to kind of expand our universe of cider making. A lot of our cider making in the past had really looked like West Virginia Scrumpy. And we started to go around and visit cideries across the country, and we're like, man, they're really doing some cool stuff, you know. I mean, they're doing some great new flavors, and let's start experimenting with that. So, a lot of our ciders are really just to make cider more approachable for people. And you know, you're exactly right. Our Scrumpy is very traditional, and it's you know, from apples that we just collected, but our other ciders are obviously very intentional with what we're trying to do and the different apple varieties that we use. And we kind of collaborate with local growers here in West Virginia, as the majority of the apples that we use come from West Virginia. And I think that's important. I would love to get 100% of our apples to come from West Virginia, but it is kind of a challenge to get certain varieties at certain quantities. But our Walk the Dog cider, kind of just to start, and I'll just walk through just four really quickly of our, you know, we have three flagship ciders, and then we always have a seasonal cider. So our flagship cider is Walk the Dog, which is our semi-dry cider. It's a cider that we use a lot of, you know, Northern Spy, Cortland, you know, Jonah Gold apples in. And it's a cider that, you know, looks and feels like West Virginia Scrumpy, but it's a cider that we, you know, pride ourselves on to have a little bit more of a, you know, mouthfeel when it comes to the tannins. It's a little tartar. And I think that, you know, we really just wanted to make something that was a little bit, you know, more, I guess you would call it, more mainstream, in a sense that, you know, it's not overly dry because you have that tartness to it. But we use a champagne yeast here that really gives it a nice flavor profile, especially with the more, you know, heritage or cider variety apples when you're talking about the Northern Spy. The other two flagship ciders, one is our Caramel Apple and the other one is Bunny Slope. Our Bunny Slope, like you said, is a hop cider. Bunny Slope comes from the name of, you know, being what we call a smooth transition for the craft beer drinkers out there in the world, just like the Bunny Slope is for people that don't ski very well. So, you know, it's our take on a hop cider, and we use a combination of champagne and ale yeast for this cider, and we also, you know, actually dry hop it with Citra hops, and I think it gives it a really neat profile, especially when you take the tartness of the apples that we use. Again, a lot more of the Northern Spy and Jenna Gold and even some Macintosh apples in this cider. So you kind of get that flavor profile that kind of just pops whenever you drink it. And then the Caramel Apple is something for the people that like sweet ciders. This is actually the only cider that we do add sugar to this cider. But we think in order to get the right flavor profile for the Caramel Apple, it makes a lot of sense. We also use a lot more dessert variety apples here to kind of get the sweetness level up. And we're talking, you know, more Honeycrisp type apples. But it's a cider that, you know, we really hadn't seen a lot of, you know, or actually really any Caramel Apple ciders out on the marketplace. And for our sweet cider, we wanted to be a little bit different. And so we think Caramel Apple kind of gives you that. And, you know, right now our seasonal cider is our Island Vibes, which is a pineapple cider, which I know you said you're enjoying right now. And this cider is pretty cool. You know, we've seen a lot of people making pineapple ciders. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, we didn't want to, you know, go out and use any concentrates or anything like that. We really wanted to focus on, you know, making a cider that we're using, you know, fresh pressed apples and also the freshest type pineapple that we can find, and we used actually pineapple puree, and we use a Saison ale yeast here, which is a little different. It can be a little harder to work with, but it's something that we think gives it, you know, when you take the pineapple and you take the apples and you put it all together with the Saison ale yeast, we think it makes a great combination. And using that puree, the fresh pineapple puree really gives you a nice mouthfeel. So we think that, you know, those three flagships and the seasonal right now are a pretty nice lineup.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, all those ciders you just mentioned are 6%. And the West Virginia Scrumpy is 6.9%. So those are really nice sessionable ciders, I would consider. I want to get back to that, like the fermentation. Are you stopping fermentation in any particular way? How are you managing that with your ciders?
Yeah, so we're using, obviously we're in, you know, stainless steel, stainless steel brewing system, which with temperature control. So we use a different combination of fining agents and cold crashing. And then we also use a filtration process where we fermentation. And in our, you know, the only one that we're really, the only two, I guess, really, where we're stopping fermentation at kind of a higher residual sugar are the caramel apple and the island vibes. The other ciders we're taking pretty close to, if not almost to dry, and because of the flavor profile that we want with our Walk the Dog and Bunny Slope, you know, having a lot more residual sugar would be a little bit of a challenge for the flavor.
All these different ciders that you have are meeting all these different palates that are out there, and I love that. It's really kind of funny in a way, the Bunny Slope for the kind of the transitional drinker, the craft beer drinker. That's really a great name, the hop cider that you have. And that Island Vibes, I love the write-up that you have on the label, too. That was really, really inviting. You know, it just kind of gives you that summery feeling, and it's a delightful cider. And I don't know if you were able to listen to episode 77 on the U.S. Cider Trends, but, you know, you're hitting it right on the dot here with offering something like a pineapple cider right now, because this is one of the main ciders that are kind of being sold or really passionately pursued by consumers out there in Ciderville. And I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great summer cider to have, and the name just kind of puts me in that kind of, kicking by the shore and wanting to spend more time by the sea.
I just think that, you know, again, we really just want to make cider approachable to people, because a lot of people, you know, we say we have a history of cider in West Virginia and really around the country, as you and all the listeners know. But I think that the more palates that you can, you know, kind of hit with your ciders, the better off we'll all be, in a sense that more people will get interested in cider, and they may like sweeter ciders, but once they drink your cider, they will hopefully kind of say, okay, well, what else do they have? This is really good. You know, what else, you know, can we look at? And that will probably draw them into even more, different flavor varieties or different, you know, cider making techniques. And so it's really just about, for us, about being approachable so people can understand more about cider.
I think that's an important idea for folks to know outside of the U.S. that in the United States, there's a bit of catching up post the prohibition lifting of the ban on fermenting, you know, and drinking beer, and certainly really blasted out cider when prohibition came into place. And that there's this whole learning curve and getting folks back into ciders. What is the West Virginia scene for cider drinkers? I mean, it sounds like you're knocking on a lot of doors, you're giving that education. What are folks typically drinking? Is it beer?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of beer. I think that we definitely, you know, are behind the curve when it comes to, you know, the mainstream people in West Virginia drinking hard cider, but we're catching up. You know, we've you know, we're the second hard cider company in the state, and you know, we launched our brand in January and put our first commercial product out in March. So it hasn't been too long, but the response has been tremendous. You know, we've been able to travel around the entire state and do different events, whether they're tap takeovers, whether they're tastings, whether they're different charity events. And it's just, it's awesome to kind of get the response that we're receiving. And I think that it's only going to continue to build the more people that try our ciders and the more people that try cider in general. You're starting to see more people kind of progress into trying those different things. There's a nice craft beer scene going in West Virginia. It's a little bit behind the rest of the country as well, but it's actually picking up quite a bit of steam. And I'm hopeful, and I think that cider may follow that path. Maybe not to the extent that craft beer has, but I think to the extent where there are a lot of people interested in not only hard cider, but the hard cider that can come from West Virginia.
You started in January, but we're talking about January 2016, not 2017. Is that right?
Actually, January 2017 was really whenever we really got rolling. You know, we did press apples and have our company established in the fall is really when we got started in 2016. But we really started putting the effort out when it comes to, you know, branding and promoting our product starting in January. And then obviously, putting our first commercial product out after fermentation was complete in March. So it's we're coming up on our first year of pressing apples and making hard cider. But our first commercial product went out on the market in March of just 2017.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That has to feel good, huh?
It does. Yeah, no, it feels great. It's, we're distributed across the whole state of West Virginia, and we're making a lot of progress there, and to see the response that we're getting. And like I said, just being out in the market, talking to people, explaining to people what hard cider is and what we're trying to do with hard cider is awesome. We're really having a great time.
Nice. So you won an award this year at Glencap for the Scrumpy.
Yeah, we actually won four awards.
Yeah,
so we
let's
won.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I've followed Glencap for quite some time, and I said, you know what, guys, let's put some cider in Glencap and let's see how it goes. And so we actually entered our West Virginia Scrumpy into Glencap, and it took home a silver medal. We entered our Bunny Slope into Glencap, and it took home a bronze medal. We entered our Walk the Dog into Glencap, and it took a bronze medal. And then we had another cider that we made in the fall, and it was our kind of our winter seasonal, and we're actually sold out of it at this point. It's called our Granny's Gold, and it's a cider that we used, an ale yeast in as well, and we used we finished the cider with some local honey, and so it's kind of a partake a little bit on a flavored, you know, a little bit sweeter cider, maybe sizer esque, I guess you would call it. But we actually took home a silver medal with that cider as well. So the four ciders and four medals, we thought that was pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Congratulations, and to be just kind of straight out of the bank there and moving forward, that gives you a lot of wind in your sails to move into the fall harvest. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the pressing of apples. You did mention, just to kind of back up there, actually let me pull back a little bit. I want to make sure everybody knows what Glencap is, and that's the Great Lakes International Cider and Perry Competition, and that happens every April out in Michigan, and that's both for commercial cideries and non-commercial makers too. On pressing apples, what is your cidery setup? Are you forage those apples for the Scrumpy? You're bringing in some juice. Can you give us a little descriptive imagery of what your actual like cider house looks like and what you're using for fermentation and conditioning?
Yeah, so we're really it's funny. We're really small in a sense that, you know, we only have about 1,300 square feet of space that we're making all of our cider in. And, you know, we're actually, it's a building, on my family's property, that's a, you know, we reconverted into a cider house. And, you know, it's something that when we talked about this business, we said, you know, let's keep it here in West Virginia. There are a lot of places to start a hard cider company, but let's keep it here in West Virginia and let's keep it here in Franklin, where we have our roots and where we you know, got introduced to hard cider. And so we're in a small location. We currently don't have any tasting room or tasting hours at this point. You know, it's purely production and purely a family owned and worked enterprise. So it's about 1,300 square feet. And, we press our apples, at our facility there. Actually just, you know, we've got a big pad outside where we press our apples. And, we do a lot of fermentation primarily in, 7-barrel, stainless steel. And we have also a 15 and a 7-barrel bright tank as well. We also use some 250-gallon IBCs to do certain fermentations in, but the majority of our fermentations are in 7-barrel stainless steel. And then we have you know, a 15 and a 7-barrel bright tank to do our conditioning in. So it's kind of a small place, but it works for what we're doing. We're also planting our own apple trees all around the property. So right now we have about 200 apple trees planted in the ground. From starting, actually, we'll be into this fall. We'll be into our third planting fall. So we've been planting apples, primarily cider specific apples, and it kind of lines the whole property. You know, we're hopefully either going to be expanding our space to maybe a slightly different location, or opening a tasting room or some tasting room hours here at our facility now. But right now, primarily, it's all production and, you know, focused on producing apples, pressing apples, and then obviously planting apples around our property. We also have a farm that's not far away, where we have over 200 acres, kind of looking at trying to figure out, you know, where we're going to start planting some apples there as well. Because, again, we want to make sure that we can not only get, you know, certain varieties from West Virginia, but we want to make sure that we can get all of our varieties from West Virginia. We probably can't have as many apple trees as we need to produce our products. So we'll use a lot of other orchards, and we'll continue to use a lot of other orchards in the state. But that's kind of our setup. And what we're doing, and the pressing time brings everybody, friends and family and everybody of the sort to come and check out what we're doing, and we're excited about this year's you know, fall time, because, you know, launching this brand and getting people interested in hard cider, we think and we hope that we'll have a lot of what we call free labor to come help us press apples.
Yeah, well, that's always a lot of fun, bringing in the community that way, especially when it involves cider. Can we give a shout-out to the other cidery in West Virginia? Can you make mention of them?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're the ones that really kind of broke the mold for West Virginia. It's called Hawk Knob Cider out of Lewisburg, and they're great guys. They're making some great ciders as well. They launched about 2 years ago, I want to say, and are rolling right along as well, and they received a couple medals, and you know, it's just kind of getting the word out there about West Virginia cider, and, you know, having them to kind of, you know, help us get the message out about cider in West Virginia is fantastic. And we try to do everything we can to promote each other and make sure people know that here in West Virginia we make great cider.
Absolutely. Now, I know that there's the Virginia Cider Trail, and you are pretty close to the border. In fact, I noticed that you're about a half hour just north of I think it's Kurt's cidery, Big Fish. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know Kurt very well, and that's not very far down the road at all. And it's just right across the border in Virginia. And West Virginia's actually started a spirits trail, and you know, are doing a lot of things around, you know, not only wine and spirits, but also craft beer. And so there's going to be a big push for cider, too, to be part of that. And so I think, you know, having this area in West Virginia and in the area in Virginia, we hope that, you know, it kind of creates this nice little region for hard cider making. And, you know, we have very similar topography, especially along the border. And, you know, there's some great, you know, cider history kind of all right here in one little spot.
Lots of reasons to visit that region of the U.S., not only for the amazing national forests that you're surrounded on both sides, east to west, but because you're definitely so close to Virginia, too, and you have the cider production really starting to kick into gear. Can I ask, is this your full-time job?
This is not. You know, we all kind of step up and you know, ultimately it's a combination of all eight of us. And, you know, we all have other things going on, and maybe one day it can sustain whatever we need to do. But ultimately right now it's just our passion for making hard cider and wanting to grow this business from, you know, a brand that was nothing to something where we can kind of hopefully create a regional and even a national brand for our hard ciders. So at the current moment, no, but it's something that we all kind of strive to make it happen at one point in time or some point in time.
So what is your full-time job?
Yeah, so we own a couple different things kind of in the local community, and I happen to work in finance, so it kind of helps when it comes to, you know, the accounting and the different things that you've got to kind of do when you're running a business. And then everybody else is just kind of, you know, has their own different jobs going on, and you know, it's just a lot of hard work in the nights and in the evenings and the weekends, but we love what we're doing.
Yeah, you have to kind of meet it on all the different corners to get cider out there in the world right now. So I imagine you're working double time for sure. Well, you know, this is just so exciting to me. You're the first West Virginia cidery that we've been able to have on Cider Chat. That's super exciting. The labeling, the whole presentation, the branding, which I think is really important, it's just so positive. This pineapple apple cider, which is called Island Vibes, I'm going to open right now. There you go. That was a nice little awesome. Little bit of effervescence there. I'm going to pour a little bit. And this has this, well, it's a cloudy cider because, you know, it's kind of like what you'd expect from pineapple. You really smell that pineapple and the apple there. And I just want to say cheers to you. We'll do a little virtual clink of the glass there.
Thanks. Mm. I know you're trying it. I know you mentioned the label and the logo and things like that. And that's actually the local artist in our hometown. Actually hand drew the entire logo and label, and she did a phenomenal job. And I know we're talking a lot about West Virginia, and if you actually look in the tree of our logo, it's actually the outline of West Virginia. Not very many people pick up on that, but it is the outline of West Virginia in the tree. And I think that's kind of neat. And then the other thing is you know, we're all passionate about our dogs, and we love animals. And kind of the model really for the logo is, you know, kind of a combination of our dogs, and we have a dog, a border collie actually named Lucy, that kind of resembles her a little bit. But we all have dogs. And that's one of the reasons why we used a dog there as well.
Yeah, we love our dogs in Sarderville for sure. Now, in West Virginia, is that white part there in the tree that's above the trunk?
Yeah, so that's the outline of the state of West Virginia, kind of the middle of the tree. And we think that's pretty neat to kind of to point out to people, especially if they don't see it right off the bat.
Yeah, that's what we call a little Easter egg. And what is the name of that artist who made that logo for you?
So her name's Michelle Seitz, and she's a fantastic local artist here in Franklin, and we couldn't be more pleased with her work. She did a phenomenal job, and it's just, she really helped bring our brand to life here.
Well, Brad, this has just been the most enjoyable morning I've had in a while here, being able to start drinking cider a little bit before 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you for that. Big ol' tip of the glass to Brad Glover of Swill Dog Hard Cider and to the family and team making it happen down there in West Virginia. You know, almost in like every other word, you could hear Brad saying, West Virginia, West Virginia. And the pride that that guy has for his home state is just seeping through the airways here. You could feel it. And you could also see it in the branding. It's really exciting for me to speak to someone like Brad because his excitement is palpable. And what he is seeing right now in the cider market is infinite possibilities. And because of that, I think it is probably what really lent them that kind of mission statement of making cider that is approachable to everyone. And in time, palates will change, but right now they want to, you know, with the bunny slope, bring along the craft beer drinker because, well, craft beer drinkers want a little bit of hop cider. And then they have the more traditional, the West Virginia Scrumpy with the foraged apples, and then the pineapple, because if you haven't been paying attention, you should know pineapple is really, really a very, very popular cider on the market right now. And all these other fruit ciders that are off and running. So I think it's a good approach. It takes all kinds. And last week we had on Eve's Cidery, that was Autumn Stoshek and Ezra Sherman, on episode 90 and 91, an amazing chat from an Orchard Bay Cidery and folks who have been in this business for a while. Two different perspectives, and each is where Ciderville is right now. We are on the precipice and going forward and having a hell of a lot of fun making and drinking some amazing cider. Yeah, I'm getting thirsty for cider. How about you? Well, I'd like to thank the good folks who are patrons of this here chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page and the following commercial cideries. We have a Ramborn Cider from the country of Luxembourg, and Big Fish Cider Company in Monterey, Virginia, and Current Cider of Percy, Pennsylvania, with a soon-to-be-opened tasting room in the Fishtown region of Philadelphia. Whenever you're out and about, do ask for these ciders. By enjoying a sip of their cider, you in turn support this chat. I hope you enjoy your day ahead and the week in between. We meet again. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up, going up.
You! Yeehaw!